Hello, this is Dr. Christ, and you're listening to one of my first podcasts. The title of this podcast is Effective Discipline Strategies, and it is a talk that I often give to parents in the community to give them some ideas and strategies to use with disciplining their kids. Let me start by asking a couple of questions. Have you ever felt like it's more effort than it's worth to do something yourself than to ask your kids to do what you tell them to do? How many of you feel like you're more concerned about your child's grades or progress than he or she is, and that you bear the burden of getting the homework done, the studying done, the chores done, etc.? And how many of you have felt powerless in the face of your child's refusal? Well, there is good news, because I will be talking about a number of different strategies you can use to help your kids listen to you better. First off, I'd like to start with a definition of discipline. Many people misunderstand what discipline is. Discipline means to instruct or to educate, to prepare by instruction or to train. We discipline kids because we love them and we want them to become responsible. It can also mean to punish or keep under control, but really that's not the better choice because a lot of parents mistakenly focus on the latter definition and focus on how can I punish my child? What can I take from him or her to teach them a lesson and make them do what I want them to do? Well, that's the least effective way of getting through to kids. Really, the goal of discipline is to teach, and if you want them to learn what you're teaching them, and if you want them to respond to you, you need to have a strong relationship with them, because without that, you're going to have a much harder time. The goal of disciplining your kids is also to socialize them, to teach them to become self-disciplined. The goal is not blind obedience, because this will not serve them well in the long run. Why is this? Well, parents who expect blind obedience from their kids and equate this with being good will not raise children who can resist peer pressure and make good decisions that come from within. Think about sexual abuse, drug and alcohol use, acting out, delinquency. It's very important for kids to learn how to say no to these things as they get older. And the way they learn that is learning how to say no to you, but to say it in an assertive, respectful way. That may seem counterintuitive, but it's very important. One of the self-help books that I occasionally recommend is called Parent-Teen Breakthrough. And one of the most important lessons from that book that I learned is this, that as your children grow, the basis of your authority will gradually shift from telling them what to do to selling them on the right thing to do. Telling them what to do to selling them on the right thing to do. Because your ability to punish diminishes as they get older, really, and your ability to monitor your kids decreases. You're going to have less access to your child, who will spend increasing amounts of time away from your direct supervision. This is why developing open communication and mutual respect are so important to develop early, because this may be all you have, really, when they get older. Now, how do you get them to do the right thing? It's your relationship. You use your relationship to sell them on the right thing to do. Okay. When you are teaching your kids, you have to be careful not to always judge your success as a parent based on whether or not your children agree with you on everything. Do you really want to raise a carbon copy of yourself so your kid never learns to think for himself? I would hope not. Parents often confuse acceptance with approval. For instance, your child may make decisions you don't agree with, such as breaking a rule, embracing different religious or political beliefs, etc. You can accept their decisions even if you don't approve of them or agree with them. The more you're able to listen to your child without being judgmental, the more likely your child is to then in turn listen to your point of view and actually question the wisdom of their own choices. One of the most popular books on parenting, and one of the ones that, if there's one book on parenting you're going to get, this is the one, and it is Parenting with Love and Logic. The essence of love and logic parenting is to lock in your empathy, love, and understanding before having to tell your kids what the consequences of their actions will be. By holding kids accountable in a very loving and empathetic way, your child will see you as the good guy and his or her poor decisions as the bad guy. That way you get to join with your child and say, wow, what a bummer. This decision was not so good. This consequence will occur. How do you want to avoid this in the future? And you can do this with your kids without shaming them, without getting angry with them, without name-calling, telling them how stupid they are for making bad choices, etc. Now, of course, you don't think you're going to say this to your kids, but that's often the message that comes across. One quick reminder here. Saying to your child that was a stupid decision to a child is often the same as calling them stupid. because stupid people make stupid decisions in their mind. So be very, very careful when you're using those sorts of terms, because I hear this all the time. Okay. If you want to learn more about Love and Logic and parenting, check their website, loveandlogic.com. They talk about consultant parents, helicopter parents, and drill sergeant parents, all very good concepts for you to learn about. The next step here in my talk is I want to talk about problems with using effective discipline. Why do parents have difficulty disciplining effectively? Well, there's a few different things. One is the hopeless parent. Some give up, assuming that nothing they do will help the situation. These people are often depressed, and getting treatment for that may help. The non-confronting parent. This parent avoids confronting the child at all costs. Often they fear the child's rejection. The problem is the parent wants to be liked at all costs and will give in to what the child is demanding, which of course then creates a demanding child, and that's not going to go so well in the outside community. The low-energy parent. How many of you are not exhausted at the end of the day? Sometimes it's easier just to do things yourself or, you know, to yell instead of teach, but it really is important to take the time, even though it may be more time intensive in the short term teaching your kids what you want them to do. It will save you a lot of time in the long run. The guilty parent. These parents blame themselves for the child's problems and become overly permissive as a result. Perhaps you feel guilty that you're working so many hours that you can't provide for your child, so instead you give in or give them stuff without having them earn it. Yeah, bad idea. The angry parent. These parents rant and rave, similar to the drill sergeant parent, but they often don't enforce any consequences. Kids get so used to your yelling, they tune it out. For example here, if you have to say something 10 times to get your child to listen, what you've taught them is that the first 9 times are freebies and that you really don't mean business until the 10th time. If you want to stop that, you're going to need to slow down and do something like the 1-2-3 magic approach. You know, I'll count to 3. If you haven't done what I've asked you to do, by the time I count to 3, something sad will happen to you. So think about your choice carefully. That way you stay in control. Finally, the uneducated parent. I'd like to think that many parents who are using ineffective parenting strategies simply don't know any better. I mean, who goes to classes on parenting? I know they're offered, but most people think they can do it based on their own parenting experiences as kids, but that really doesn't go over very well, especially with today's kids. Now, ineffective parenting can also be due to child issues. I don't want to put all the blame on parents or kids, but if you have a child with a psychiatric disorder such as ADHD, depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, Asperger's disorder, that's going to affect your child's ability to respond to your forms of discipline, even when you're doing them properly. And so, by all means, if you have a child with one of these disorders or you suspect that may be present, be sure that you go out and get some information, get a competent, thorough evaluation, because specialized techniques may be needed. For example, if you have an ADHD child who's on medication, and the medication wears off at 6 p.m., and that's when you get home trying to get them to do their homework and come to dinner, change their clothes, get ready for bed, that's going to be very difficult because they're winding down, and they're revving up as you're winding down. Okay, I am going to move on to some general discipline strategies. And I'm going to talk about some general tips that you may want to keep in mind. And this can apply to kids of all ages. First is to be consistent in your method of discipline and how you punish your child. This applies to all caregivers. Your child needs to understand that there are predictable consequences for actions. If this is not the case, you run the problem of your child knowing who to go to get what he or she wants, and that does not promote effective discipline. Think ahead. Be prepared for what you're going to do and say, and help your child understand the consequences of his actions. Try not to just wing it or do the first thing that pops into your head, because you're more likely to react negatively then. Now, you've probably have heard is that punishment should happen quickly after the behavior occurs. Well, this is true for puppies, because they can't make the connection that, you know, you're mad at them at 6 p.m. for peeing in the house at 12 noon. But with kids, especially the older kids, you don't need to give the consequence immediately. The love and logic approach to this is something like this. Oh, sweetie, this is so sad. You broke the rule again and didn't clean your room before you went out to play. something very sad will happen to you, and I'll let you know the consequences just as soon as I'm ready, but try not to worry about it. That's a very different approach. That actually increases anxiety in your child. Your child is going to say, well, what are you going to do? And it's like, well, you'll know when I know. So don't feel like you have to do it immediately. It's okay to take your time and talk, consult with your spouse, partner, therapist, whatever. That actually works better than you might think. Set up a daily routine for your younger kids and try to stick to it each day. Kids do better. They feel more secure when the routine is consistent, and this typically leads to fewer struggles. Setting limits that are appropriate for your child's age and developmental level. Remember, you're in charge, and you will have to say no to your child sometimes. You should expect that your child's going to cry when he does not get his way. That's okay. It's a normal way of dealing with frustration in young children and should be ignored or sympathized with. For example, if your child is complaining that he or she doesn't get a dessert, you know, because dinner wasn't eaten properly or the treat does not happen because they didn't earn it, you can sympathize with your child and say, oh, I can see why you're so upset. You were really hoping to get that whatever it is, and it didn't happen today. But you know what? Tomorrow's a new day, and I bet that if you work really hard, that tomorrow you can earn that privilege. This is far better than yelling at them. Now, once they devolve into a temper tantrum, the best thing to do is ignore that and walk away. Because if you give too much attention to a temper tantrum, you're going to reinforce the behavior. Remember the power of negative attention for many kids. Many kids are so desperate for attention, they'll do anything to get it. And if they get more of your time and attention by misbehaving, that's what they're going to do. So you have to work really hard to give positive attention consistently for the things that they do right. Don't take it for granted. If you have the attitude of, well, he should have done that anyway, I shouldn't have to praise him for it, that's not going to work. If it did, you probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast. Avoid repeating commands. You should give a command, and if not followed, you can repeat it once with a warning of what will happen if they don't comply. And then if that occurs, again, apply the consequence. Be flexible. With older children and adolescents, they want to have some input on what's going on. Listen and get your child's input on some of the rules and punishment, and be willing to negotiate. However, the time to negotiate is before the rule is broken, not after. So this is where planning ahead can be very useful. Giving kids choices is very important. If you never give your child a choice, he or she never learns to feel good, or to feel in control, or to even feel competent. So if you're getting a lot of resistance at what you're telling your child to do, think about whether or not you're actually providing any choices. You're going to wear that today is far less effective than, hey, why don't you go outside and see what the weather's like today? And then you can choose, you know, one of three outfits. You can choose the red shirt, the green shirt, or the blue shirt. You decide. Most kids will be able to pick one of those choices, and then you can say, cool, well, what shorts would go with that shirt? Or do you think it's a pants day? The more you get kids to think about their choices, especially when the outcome really doesn't matter, the more they will be able to tolerate when they don't get a choice. And then you can say to kids, well, you know, this is not a choice you get. You know, sometimes some things you get to choose, other things you don't, and that's just how life is. Making good behavior is fun. Kids are more likely to comply if they enjoy themselves. For example, especially with boys, let's see who can pick up the most toys before the timer runs out. If you make it a competition, all of a sudden, you get more cooperation. It's hard to get kids to put their clothes away, for example, or throw their clothes into the dirty clothes hamper. But if you have a basketball hoop above the hamper, then it becomes a game. Or if you even help play the game with them throwing the clothes into the hamper, it becomes fun, and it becomes a bonding experience with your child. So, let's see. I hope I've given you some ideas as to some things that you can do to encourage good behavior and to help your kids behave better and become more disciplined and ideally more self-disciplined. Please check out our parenting page on our website, cfcc.info, for some more handouts and other resources for parenting. Thank you very much, and I will be talking to you again soon in my next podcast. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.